Good evening, dear saints. Here we are again in the Lord's house. I welcome you here to join with us in this preaching service this evening. In case there may be someone looking and listening that doesn't know all of us, my name is Bob Immer. I'm an elder in the branch here. Our speaker this evening is Brother Eric Arnold, deacon in our branch. And priest Bob Davis will offer our invocation today, this evening. I have a scripture to read, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. I think it's one that is worth repeating every now and then. It's from the speech of King Benjamin, as recorded in the book of Mosiah. And this is chapter 2. We'll start with verse 13. Believe in God, believe what He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Very basic instruction. Nothing terribly challenging about it. It's just something that's absolutely required of us. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. And he's presuming here that he's talking to sinners. And I'm addressing sinners here this evening. Fellow sinners. And humble yourself before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. We'll start this evening with singing number 486, after which we'll have an invocation by Brother Bob. Thank you. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to draw apart from the world into this house of worship, that we might worship you, that we might learn more of your wishes for us, and we may have a better understanding of those things that you require of us, that we might strengthen our resolve to do those things that you have called us to do. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Pray that you would be with us, that you would be with Brother Bob as he presides, that he will feel the lead of your Spirit and lead the service the way you would have it go. And I pray for Brother Eric, that you will clear his mind of those things of the world that would be distracting to him, that he might present to us those thoughts and words and counsel that you would have for us. Thank you, God, for the many blessings you've given us. Be with us now is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, good evening. I was going to start with the 13th chapter of Corinthians first. I said, no, that's too much. I chose Romans 12, 9 through 21. I think it's like one verse shorter. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink.
for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
I spoke to you a little earlier as fellow sinners, now addressing you as fellow workers in the kingdom. The next hymn is number 489, My Master Was a Worker. And I think we can take great satisfaction in knowing that we are fellow workers with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
What I opened with doesn't have anything directly. It does. It's not the subject of what I want to say. It's something I want to hang in the background while I say the rest of what I want to say. Some verses about the story of Enoch. Genesis 5, 6, and 7. Selections. Genesis 5, 42 to 45. And thus the works of darkness began to prevail among the sons of men. And God cursed the earth with a sore curse, and was angry with the wicked, with all the sons of men whom he had made, for they would not hearken unto his voice, nor believe on his only begotten Son. Even him whom he declared should come in the meridian of time, who was prepared from before the foundation of the world. And thus the gospel began to be preached from the beginning, being declared by holy angels, sent forth from the presence of God, and by his own voice, and by the gift of the Holy Ghost. And thus all things were confirmed unto Adam by an holy ordinance, and the gospel preached, and a decree sent forth that it should be in the world until the end thereof. And thus it was. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 1. And Adam hearkened unto the voice of God, and called upon his sons to repent. 13 and 14. And the children of men were numerous upon all the face of the land. And in those days Satan had great dominion among men, and raged in their hearts. And from thenceforth came wars and bloodshed. And a man's hand was against his own brother in administering death, because of secret works, seeking for power. 26 through 31. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And it came to pass that Enoch journeyed in the land among the people, and as he journeyed, the Spirit of God descended out of heaven and abode upon him. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, Enoch, my son, prophesy unto this people, and say unto them, repent. For thus saith the Lord, I am angry with this people, and my fierce anger is kindled against them. For their hearts have waxed hard, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes cannot see afar off. And for these many generations, even since the day that I created them, have they gone astray, and have denied me, and have sought their own counsels in the dark. And in their own abominations have they devised murder, and have not kept the commandments which I gave unto their father Adam. Wherefore they have forsworn themselves, and by their oaths they have brought upon themselves death. And in hell I have prepared for them, if they repent not. And this is a decree which I have sent forth in the beginning of the world from mine own mouth, from the foundation thereof, and by the mouths of my servants, thy fathers, have I decreed it, even as it shall be sent forth in the world unto the end thereof. 33 through 36. And the Lord said unto Enoch, go forth, and do as I have commanded thee, and no man shall pierce thee. Open thy mouth, and it shall be filled, and I will give thee utterance. For all flesh is in my hands, and I will do as seemeth me good. Say unto this people, choose ye this day to serve the Lord God who made you. Behold, my spirit is upon you. Wherefore, all thy words will I justify, and the mountains shall flee from before you. And the rivers shall turn from their course. And thou shalt abide in me, and I in you. Therefore walk with me. From chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. And it came to pass that Enoch continued to call upon all the people, save it were the people of Canaan, to repent. And so great was the faith of Enoch that he led the people of God, and their enemies came to battle against them, and he spake the word of the Lord, and the earth trembled, and the mountains fled, even according to his command. Down to 17. And all nations feared greatly, so powerful was the word of Enoch, and so great was the power of the language which God had given him. Concluding with verses 20 through 28. And from that time forth there were wars and bloodshed among them. But the Lord came and dwelt with his people, and they dwelt in righteousness. And the fear of the Lord was upon all nations, so great was the glory of the Lord which was upon his people. And the Lord blessed the land, and they were blessed upon the mountains and upon the high places, and did flourish. And the Lord called his people Zion, because they were of one heart and of one mind, and dwelt in righteousness, and there were no poor among them. And Enoch continued his preaching in righteousness unto the people of God. And it came to pass in his days that he built a city that was called the City of Holiness, even Zion. And it came to pass that Enoch talked with the Lord, and he said unto the Lord, surely Zion shall dwell in safety forever. But the Lord said unto Enoch, Zion have I blessed, but the residue of the people have I cursed. And it came to pass that the Lord showed unto Enoch all the inhabitants of the earth, and he beheld, and lo, Zion in process of time was taken up into heaven. And the Lord said unto Enoch, behold mine abode forever. In this we have a testimony of the manner in which men spent their time, the days of their probation, on the earth, and what God called Enoch to do in response. And thus it went with Enoch and his people until the society that God thought good to call Zion was taken into God's own presence. I try to do more listening than talking. So I stand out there and listen during class. And we've been discussing a lot of things relating to the kingdom because of what we see going on in the world around us, and wondering, I know, if things couldn't be different than what they are among us, not so much what's going on around us, because this is what's going on around us, and that's what's going to keep going on around us as long as the arm of flesh is what men want to accomplish what they want to do by. It's the best they've got. That's what they do. When I listen to the statements that have been offered to direct the church in these times, the tone may vary a little bit, but this is what I hear. I hear Zion spoken of, the kingdom spoken of, in terms or tones that relate to desperation, deprivation, danger, fear, calamity, and the judgments upon the wicked and the disobedient. And Zion as a refuge from these things that's born of necessity. because the danger is upon you unless you heed the warnings. Doctrine and Covenants 140. Subsection 5. The whole thing. And I'm aware that administratively, as far as setting things in order, this isn't the situation that prevails among us exactly. Five A, through to the end. The church is admonished again that all movements toward Zion and the gathering and temporalities connected therewith are within my law, and all things should be done in order. The advice and counsel of the elders and of the bishop and his council be sought and honored when received. As before enjoined, though of necessity their counsel when given is not intended to dictate or to deny any man his agency. The bit that I wanted. The work of preparation and the perfection of my saints go forward slowly, and Zionic conditions are no further away nor any closer than the spiritual condition of my people justifies. But my word shall not fail, neither will my promises, for the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Everything I said a moment ago about the terms and tones in which Zion was spoken of it's the case. I know that it is. And I know how and where I fall short. But I don't think I've mistaken the character of the Lord when I say that it strikes me that Zion is never spoken of in terms of a cooperative or constructive or creative endeavor. The difference between acting out of compulsion and acting out of desire. And the safety that we might seek in the kingdom, I think, is a byproduct rather than the purpose of it. Terms of a cooperative and constructive and creative endeavor or work that's born of the spirit of sacrifice, cultivated by people who choose to do what they do because they love what God loves and want no other thing more than to identify with Him and partake of His blessings and let those blessings stand as a testimony of the righteousness of their desires and of God's desire to draw men to Himself. A similar group of verses from 4th Nephi. Beginning with chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them, and did truly repent of their sins, were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they also did receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass, in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord, upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. Verse 14. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And 17 through 20. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites. But they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. The building of the kingdom, the doing of that work, falls outside the responsibilities or the purview of our civil institutions or our government. Just a couple of years ago, a man of much more experience and largeness of heart and commitment and knowledge and experience stood in this pulpit and in no uncertain terms said that no organization or party or political personage was going to do the labor of undertaking to bring the kingdom to pass among people in this land, in this country. And that it was up to us to do that. Christ's church uniquely has the means by which people are to be reconciled to their Heavenly Father. The temporal and limited concerns of government cannot draw our attention. Neither can the wickedness of the wicked. For offenses must needs come. These things cannot draw our attention away from the opportunities of our calling. If the kingdom hardly comes among us as it ought to be, as I have heard it ought to be, and I think as I have heard people expect it to be, I think it's because we don't sufficiently love what God loves. And that's all I have to say about that, and I say it to myself first.
Thank you, Brother Eric. In my introductions this evening, I neglected to mention one individual who's made a fine contribution tonight. That's our pianist, Sister Marcia Bullhall. Those of you who have done some traveling ministry here and there know how it is in some of the small groups that we visit. Some of them don't have musicians at all. And yes, we can have good experiences with folks in such such environments, but it's just so much better when we have good music, and we're blessed with several good musicians here. So I'm thankful for that. Let's close tonight by singing number 490. I'll go where you want me to go. And I'm sure that we all mean that when we sing it. Thank thee now for all the good experiences of the day here in thy house and elsewhere as we gather together with our fellow saints. We are thankful for one another, Father. We are thankful for that gospel of Jesus Christ that makes us fellow saints, that brings us together and blesses us in so many ways and in so many different places and times. So we thank thee for the activities of this evening and look forward to further activities in the days to come, opportunities in which we may worship thee and praise thee and do fellowship with our fellow saints. May thy will be done, we pray, through us, always and everywhere. We pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.